Season 2, Episode 5, Desert Whale Podcast. Coming at you like a body through a windscreen. No idea where that came from. On today's show, we talk about the Big Glasgow Comic Page Con?
Big Glasgow Fair. Comic
Page Con
and
Fair.
Craft Fair.
That's it, I can now get the name right.
Yeah. Run by the Big Glasgow Comic Page.
We attended that, so we talk about that. We have got Batman vs Superman special. Spoilers everywhere.
Spoilers
ahoy.
Including the debut of our new spoilers klaxon.
Yeah,
type thing.
I'm sure that'll catch on. And when we have a quiz, it's probably the best quiz yet.
I would actually quite agree.
Our loyal listeners have come to expect a very high standard from our quizzes. So,
yeah, so they are going to hate it. And
they're in for a treat.
So let's crack on. Bad day.
Bad day. So, we were at the Big Glasgow Comic and Craft Fair the other week, organised by Ian Bonner. So, a very big thank you to him. Boys, how did we do? And what were your experiences at the Big Glasgow Comic and Craft Fair at Glasgow Trade Halls? Search it on my Facebook and Twitter.
It was good. I wasn't sure what to expect, though, because I think we were like one of the only two folk that were there with an independent book.
Creator-owned. Yeah,
creator-owned. I like that.
Yeah,
get that savvy little word in there. But to be honest, we started off quite well. When I say started off, I meant there was a lot of folk that were just selling stuff from shops, and I wasn't sure how we would go down or how we'd come across, because it wasn't so much a Comic Con. That makes sense.
Yeah, it was more. Well, there was art prints and art types things, but there was loads of like craft work.
Yeah.
And comics, like actual comics, getting
and
sold.
And cakes. Folk were selling cakes. That is utter genius.
I know, I kept on looking at those cakes the whole day, and I missed my opportunity.
Because we'd watched them all day, they'd been sitting there all day, I was like, they'll probably be like stale and hard. And
they might have been, but there was like wee Cookie Monster ones that had, I think they had like half an Oreo on the top of them or something like that. They looked brilliant. Whoever it was that made them.
The fuck is it?
Oh, well, apparently it's the printer's just having a time of his life in the office here, so.
I actually shit myself.
I just
no idea what was going on.
Like, well, we'll ignore that. You just carry on, printer, see what you do. And we did all right. Like there was, we didn't sell too many, but
we sold a bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think we sold. I don't know how many we sold, but we sold apparently to the right people.
Yeah, definitely.
So, a lot of people are coming up. We've got feedback from everyone, especially one chap, Marco Piva, who gave us a very very pleasant review, which I certainly was really chuffed by reading back. So. About you guys.
Me too. I was, like we say, we didn't even know who he was, which sounds, we didn't know who he was.
No, that's right.
I was really, really surprised when he actually contacted us. And we've got another review coming as well from Comics Anonymous.
Comics Anonymous, a guy, Gary Watson.
That's the one.
G-Man. That's the one. Aye, G-Man. G-Watt.
So that's coming out on May, I think.
May 1st, yeah. To kick off his Comic A Day for May campaign that he's doing. So I think that's Comics Anonymous, that'll be on Facebook. Again, search for that one.
He's got a blog as well.
He does have a blog, so I'm sure if you put Comics Anonymous in...
Marco Piva's on the Big Glasgow Comic page.
That's right, he's one of the reviewers for the page. A very nice chap, so he is. But yeah, the way I think it was a heavy success for us going along.
I really enjoyed it. The one thing I did wish, because that was our second one.
Yeah.
I do wish it would have been perfect if we'd done something like that first, and then went and done Dunfermline Comic Con instead of doing it. We'd just done it by the front just the way it worked out.
Alright, yeah, so.
I would have preferred a little bit of get your feet wet with the fair and then did the big.
Straight into the Comic
Con afterwards. But.
It's not how it went, though.
It's just not how it went.
Sometimes life doesn't work out in that way.
Life never works out.
Maybe for you too.
I don't mind. I know what you're saying.
Because
I think there was a lot more footfall at the Comic Con in Dunfermline, but that's not to take away from this, because that was Dunfermline's first Comic Con. So like, there was naturally going to be interest from folk just to see what it was like.
Yeah, it was good.
These seem quite well organised, man. I was really surprised by how
ran like clockwork and everything. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. But yeah, like the guys themselves, like everybody that I spoke to, everybody I'm sure you guys spoke to as well, like really nice people, and there's some really nice, really cool stalls up and about. There like we say, the cakes ones, there was independent comics, there was a couple of guys from ICW there, which was pretty cool, seeing as the wrestling is, well, ICW is massive in Glasgow, it's getting bigger across Scotland, and it's getting noticed pretty much worldwide now. That was cool to have them. I'd imagine that was fairly easy to get them, seeing as it was local Glasgow thing. But
is that the one that's now in LA?
Yeah, yeah. That was again doing the digging. I think Marco Piva managed to get them a TV slot in Italy. Do correct me if I'm wrong.
That's class. Well done, that man.
Well done. Yeah, exactly. So it's Scottish talent out there. It was a cool experience all in all, and definitely looking forward to the next time we get to go back there.
Yeah. There's quite a lot of cosplayers as well, which I thought was great.
Another cosplay competition. It was a Disney themed one. Oh, this is what they do. Like a Big Glasgow Comic do a themed comic and craft fair. I think it's every single month. There's like at least one themed one. So the next one is Civil War themed, which is
pretty cool. Kind of serious, the recent, well, the Marvel film.
That's it. Yeah, and we're on the waiting list. So if anybody wants to just,
I'll go with Black Widow.
I'm going to go as Samuel L. Jackson's version of Nick Fury.
I thought you were going to say just Samuel L. Jackson.
I was going to go that way, I forgot to think it's Nick Fury for a second. Like, what's his name again? Oh yeah, that's it. Yeah,
what's his name again? That man.
The guy that's in the Avengers, the man, him, with a thing.
No, it's not a thing. Where's the bell? Get the bell out.
You've forgotten it again, eh?
Aye.
Nice one, cool.
Pa-ding!
There it is, yeah.
I forgot about... I'm very underprepared.
As ever. Like, it doesn't... We're all there. We're stretching this out a little bit as well, so... thanks again to Ian for having us along, and thanks to everybody for being cool on our first foray into the Big Glasgow Comic Trade and Craft Fair.
Pop the cherry
thing. They popped our cherry and they popped it well.
Not that you've got anything to compare it to, because it's your first one.
No, like as you say, we
true, aye, that's a good point. But still, getting a cherry pop is still fun.
It's still popping cherries and us starting off in Dunfermline, you know, that's the equivalent of starting up with.
That's true.
We're not going there. What it's like, but
pop the cherry in Dunfermline. Which is an album.
It's a comedy.
Google it, I'm sure it is an album.
I don't get pop cherries.
Google that at work.
Yeah. On IE. Yeah. Right, okay, shall we move on then on to the first feature?
Yes. Fantastic.
Indeed. Bing, 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 bing,
bing. Get the bell.
Bing.
Just get the printer again.
Aye, that'd be good.
Yeah. Got a mind of it, so yeah.
Bye, ding.
That is, of course, our spoiler klaxon to let you know there's going to be spoilers coming up in this next feature. By now, every single one of you that listens to us will have watched Batman vs. Superman. Thanks for that, Tommy.
Just carry that about.
You never know when you're going to need an air horn, a fog horn? What'd you
call air horn.
An air horn.
And a can.
You never know when you're going to need a canned air horn. So, yes, we've all seen Batman vs. Superman by now, and depending on who you are and what you think, you are either firmly in the it was absolute shite camp, or you're in the I really enjoyed it, but I can see the plot holes camp.
I think I'm kind of in the middle.
I was going to say I'm in the middle. Okay, do you want to elaborate?
The thing is, man, I keep switching back and forward.
Oh really?
In my mind, yeah. I'm like, oh, it was brilliant. For the sheer spectacle of it, it was brilliant. And then once you start thinking deeper than that, then you just go, oh, they shouldn't have done that. And that didn't make sense. Then so on and so forth.
Yep. I totally agree. And the thing is, I think one thing that's going to really make my mind up as well is in a few weeks' time when I see Civil War, I'm going to instantly compare it. And Civil War is apparently meant to be spectacular.
There's not really that many comparisons that you can draw, though, really. Because I mean, it's
Captain America against Iron Man, right? It's Batman versus Superman.
Well,
yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, but I think you can.
In spite of yourself, you will.
Yes, and I think I'll naturally do it purely because it's Marvel DC. They're two different universes. They're always competing. So But when I went to see it, when I was originally going to see it and I was sitting through it, I think the first 50 minutes to an hour, I remember thinking, I'm actually bored. Like, this is, I'm actually bored of this. And I really, really wanted to like it. Like, I wanted to,
everyone did.
Like, I wanted to love it. I wanted to come out and be that guy who was just like, oh my god, DC, I've done it, ah! And I didn't come out thinking that. I liked it. But I think that's it. That's as much as I can go to. I liked it. I wouldn't watch it again.
You wouldn't watch it again?
No, really? I wouldn't sit through it again.
I think I've got to watch it again.
I will watch it again, yeah. But I think the first hour of it was that slow that...
The thing is, with it being so slow, I totally, totally appreciate what you're saying. I agree, it was slow, but they had a hell of a lot of information to pack in an hour. And because, like, going back to what you're saying about Civil War, it is going to be... you're right, it's probably going to be a direct comparison, but like story-wise, but Marvel have had a much, much bigger run-up.
Oh yeah, so oh, definitely.
Much bigger, and DC...
That's DC's fault.
It is, and that's what I was going to say. They've had so long to catch up. They've had since what? Like, when did Iron Man come out? Was that like 2007? Something like that.
It's kicking on.
Yeah.
They've had a long time to play catch up, and it's only, what, it's like 2016 now, and they've had so much time to get everything up to scratch, and they wasted time doing a Green Lantern film that was destined to fail. It was just a pile of shit.
And yeah, it was shite.
They had a good budget. Not to talk about Green Lantern, the movie, for too long, but they had a good budget. They had good writers on that as well.
And they had Ryan Reynolds as well.
And they had Ryan Reynolds, aye.
That was at the stage where, like, he wasn't as anywhere near as well revered as he is now. American Haunting. He was in films here, there, and everywhere.
It was in RIPD. Have you seen that?
No, I watched the first half hour of it.
If you think Green Lantern's a bad comic film, watch
RIPD. they had a lot of time. They had a lot of run up, and they did shoot themselves in the foot having that much to do in that first hour. But I kind of felt like it needed it. To get themselves up to where they're going
to
go.
It's to introduce Batman, though, isn't it? That's why it takes so long. Because it is a Superman sequel.
It is.
So you're kind of... You've got to watch the first one, first Man of Steel, before you watch this.
For sure,
but
yeah.
But you've got to introduce Batman and all the stuff that goes on with him and his supporting characters and stuff like
that. Yeah, absolutely. So I don't think they've done it as well as they could have, though. I appreciate you saying they've got so much stuff to put in. Like, obviously, they've got Lex Luthor to come. He's completely new. So, no, you haven't seen him in a film yet. Yeah. In this universe, anyway. So, they've had to sort of set him up. On a side note, he was a problem for me in the film as well. But...
He was a problem for a lot of people.
He was a problem for me as well.
He was a problem for me in the film. But I think... somebody was like, that's really nitpicky until I actually looked at it. Every second scene in this film is in slow motion. Every second scene, there's a scene where Lex Luthor walks down a corridor and it follows him walking in the corridor in slow motion, and it's about 45 seconds. Right. Nothing happens. He walks down the corridor. There was obviously where he's going, I think he's going to go into the ship, kind of like the crashed ship. He's going to that, so it's quite this is where he's going.
It's the added sense of drama too.
But it doesn't. All it done was, because there's that much slow motion loses its effect on me, and I was just like, fuck's sake, hurry. I was getting the bit. I was like, if I was watching some telly, I'd just fast forward it. It's always down the corridor. But
see, I went to see it in the IMAX, and maybe this a thing is IMAX syndrome. Whatever you watch in IMAX, as soon as you've seen it, you come out and just think, "Holy shit, that was the greatest film I've ever seen." And I don't know what it is about it.
Just get assaulted.
Oh yeah! Like, oh my god! Yeah. Exactly. And I came out of Batman v Superman thinking that was phenomenal. I came out thinking at the same time, I see the flaws. Mm. I see the flaws, but at the time I was kind of like, everything just far outweighs it. That was just so incredible. I calmed myself down over the next few days and thought about it, having conversations with people, and the more you think about it, the more you can pull apart in the film, and the more you can bring it down, and the more you can just give yourself a shittier view of it. And I didn't really want to do that. I liked it for what it was. I mean, I wasn't I wasn't massively, massively bothered about Lex Luthor. A lot of people were. He was neurotic. He was... Maybe he wasn't the best...
tweaky. I didn't like how he was more a Batman villain than Lex Luthor.
That's the thing.
In my opinion, in the picture and image in my head, he's nothing like him.
It was like a lower budget Heath Ledger, I thought. Like, the way he came across, he was quite sort of hyper and sort of like... Like say twitchy, like Tourette, not Tourette's, but you know what I mean? Like he spoke really fast and he was really hyper and he was like an excited kid.
Did you ever get the feeling he was really smart though?
To be honest, in my head, he was like the guy that made Facebook. He was like Mark Zuckerberg. That's who I thought he was like. Just some guy. Because they didn't really tell you what he done for a living. He ran some billionaire company. Fine, great.
Yeah, again, for the amount of information they had to stuff into it, you're right, they probably could have spent less time doing slow motion and more time doing a bit more exposition.
But they didn't even kind of explain what he was trying to achieve. Like, obviously, right,
his motivations were very muddy, he's trying to
frame Superman, right? Aye. Essentially
because he doesn't like him for some reason.
Brilliant, right? Aye. So he's trying to frame him, that's fine, I can get that. And then like later on in the film, when that all goes to tits, he then gets Doomsday involved. What was he then?
That's quotation marks Doomsday.
It is Doomsday though. It is Doomsday. It is definitely Doomsday.
I'm not going with it. Like,
it is Doomsday. It even evolves into...
I'm not going with it. It says like, this will be your Doomsday, and I kind of like...
You can't...
It can't be more than one Doomsday though. I will say that from what I've read in comics.
Yeah, there can be, but it was Doomsday.
Oh yeah, it's based on... For me, the way I interpreted it, it was based on, it wasn't sort of like, this is Doomsday. It was kind of like, will be your Doomsday.
Again, it's always a spoiler film, but the fact that he killed Superman, it was Doomsday. Because it's straight out of the book. But I mean, even that, I didn't understand what he was trying to do with Doomsday. Like, he's going to unleash Doomsday when he kills Superman, and then Doomsday's what, going to kill everyone? What does he achieve out of that?
He didn't really know what he was doing with it though. I think he kind of gained all that knowledge from the ship. Now, a lot of it's not really proper. I don't need everything to be explained to me.
No, but
because I can make my own jumps and conclusions. But definitely. there was some stuff that just wasn't there.
However,
for me, it's one of those ones you watch the film and you're like, I've missed something. But I've not missed anything.
But you've not missed something.
You sit and watch it, so you sit and you wait for this missing puzzle piece to come later on in film.
And it doesn't.
Or you make it up yourself, and there's just loads of stuff like that.
However, what I will say is that rather than being sort of negative on it at the time, was Ben Affleck was class. I like Ben Affleck. His version of Batman was great. A lot of folk weren't keen on it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Because it kills folk. Excuse me.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take this point, right? For Justice League Batman, he is immortal amongst gods, essentially. Mm. If Bruce Wayne, as Batman, as a mortal, who just has, for want of a better word, like, guns, basically, propulsion guns, this, that and everything, if Batman cannot recognise that if it's him or them against his enemies, that makes him less believable for me. If an enemy's coming up against him that will quite blatantly kill him, like when he was in the Batmobile in Doomsday, let's just call him the right thing. I concede your point. Let's call him Doomsday, because he was Doomsday. I concede. Doomsday's about to kill him.
Yes.
So what would Batman do if he had the choice? Would he just knock him out and put him in prison?
Yes.
That's nonsense for me. This is my point. People are pissed off about him killing people. I'm absolutely not, because a character like that has to evolve over time for me. Otherwise, they just risk becoming stale, and it's the same story that's told over and over again, over and over again. I'm not saying make him go on like mass murdering sprees, but if he has to. And it's him or them.
Fine. Yeah.
I bought that he's at the tail end of his career.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah.
And at some point, maybe he's started like killing people.
Well, he does say that. But he says to Alfred, "We are criminals now." At one point, and I can't remember what Alfred says. He says something. He goes, "Oh, we're criminals now, Alfred." So it's like, yeah, fine. To me, in my head, that one sentence was him saying, "We do kill folk, Ken, but we're." Try to do the greater good, if you like.
I think at some point he was the Batman who didn't kill him was putting people in prison in Arkham Asylum and stuff like that. And then at some point something's happened, and now that he's at the tail end of his career, he's less merciful. But my Batman doesn't kill people. I understand that this Batman does, and I'm not that bothered about it, if you know what I mean.
I think
it's
well,
it's not totally putting me off. I'm just like, this isn't my Batman.
Again,
really. This Batman's a bit different.
Saying like when you're jumping to conclusions or you're making a puzzle piece yourself, the whole kind of killing himself and like, oh, maybe at one point it has changed. For me, that was when he walked past the Robin thing, and Robin is dead. Robin is dead, right? So in my head, like, Joker, I'm assuming it's Joker, Joker's killed Robin, or his Robin is dead. But that was the bit that he was just like, come on, fuck it.
Spot on. You're right about that as well, actually, Tommy, with you saying, like, it's not my Batman. There's one thing that this film does kind of leave open to interpretation. This film leaves loads open to interpretation, apparently.
Sure does.
Loads. And it's a Zack Snyder thing. And I suppose that's maybe one of the reasons why people are so conflicted about whether it's good, it's bad, it's ugly, it's indifferent.
It's definitely not ugly.
It looks fantastic.
Some people might disagree. I don't know. Maybe it's not some people's bag. But, you know, I certainly didn't. I thought it looked absolutely fantastic. But by the same token, it's maybe one of the reasons why people are quite so volatile in their reactions towards it, because it doesn't seem to follow the exact same canons as the comic books do, which is what we're,
or the previous films either, because my dad will go and watch this and go, "Was that about? Why is Batman killing people?" Because he's only, well, see that, I think he kills, well, you know what, I actually see it, but in the Burton movies he chucks people off very tall things and sets them on fire with Batmobiles and all sorts of stuff. But I don't know.
It's alluded to, isn't it? You never really see him kill anybody in this film, but the fact that he's blown up cars before kind of they're going to die.
I suppose you could always say, but they were not really.
I blew it up in a way that
they were
the
just really, really
yeah.
So yeah, not to be negative about it all the time, because I really did. I could go on about all the stuff I loved as well, because it's definitely, you get the best Batman fighting I've ever seen in any Batman film ever.
Superb.
The bit when he comes in and he's like, oh, I'll drop you off on third floor or second floor.
I'll drop you off on the third floor.
Yeah. He comes in and just, to me, that, do you know what though? That
bit, sequence with the, in the warehouse with the guys, that was my favourite Batman.
That bit,
basically,
and the bit,
Arkham Asylum.
But I'm saying that bit, and there's a bit earlier on when he's in the house and the postman was looking for him and he's up in the corner. Well, it looked a little bit sort of awkward because he's like, what's he doing? He just buggers off through the grappling hook and whatever. That felt like that was that fight scene, that it was all dark and dingy and it was guys with guns and balaclavas.
It was good.
That was like, that in my head was like the animated series. It was like something out of that. It was something that was quite sort of dark fighting. Like that's what I associate with Batman.
Dirty fighting. Yeah.
And everyone's all doom and gloom and dark and dingy and that, rather than being out in the streets. Sorry, pagering fucking daylight. I liked that. Another thing as well, one bit of the film that just kind of made me like, everything on me was standing up, right, was the bit where...
Horrible.
I can't remember the boy's name. Is it Hans Zimmer and that? Someone junkie.
Junkie XL.
The music that they had for when Wonder Woman kicks in and she appears with a shield was fucking... epic.
Loved her.
The music was amazing. She was kind of a little bit wedged in, I felt.
She
just kind of appeared, but I can take that.
She still had, like, the notes, like, the mysterious notes, like the... Well, I say notes, like, I mean, like, a musical note. Like, when you've got the... He's finding all secret files. That was one of my favourite bits.
That's quality,
and the music during that bit was excellent as well.
The music's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
It's Hans Zimmer, man. He's a genius.
I got really excited when he found out the secret files, like... That was just like, oh my god, he's got secret files
and
everybody!
See the bit in the secret files, kind of going through it on, they show you like Aquaman, and it's sort of like, it looks like a submarine or whatever, camera, kind of goes down, and Aquaman's just kind of there being like, fuck off! Just like poking, the camera, but for quite a while, just like, fuck off!
You got a really good look at him, actually.
Aye.
Underwater.
Yeah. He was, maybe the... Wonder Woman certainly did seem wedged in, but again, that may have been a symptom of it being a hell of a lot of information to put into a 2.5 hour film and trying to get everyone up to speed, because you're like, the film's not necessarily made for you know, hardcore comic book fans, and it's certainly not made for people that don't know anything about it.
I agree.
It's maybe middle ground for sure.
Because if you don't know much, because there's two scenes in particular that if you don't know much about from the books, you're going to be confused as fuck. The scene with the flash forward with Darkseid, mm-hmm. Batman's got his old desert gear on, and he's in, and like Superman's got all his troops and whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like a dream. It's a dream sequence. That was like, right, fair enough. What the fuck's going on? Because I went to see it with two other folk that didn't ken, and they were like, "What the fuck was going on?" And then the bit when Bruce Wayne falls asleep at his computer, and then obviously like the Speed Force opens up. I'm assuming it's Speed Force, and it's Flash comes through, and he's like, "Oh, looks like it's a key." This is another thing I was going to pick up on as well. It's the Flash who comes through, right? Now, when the Flash comes through there, you haven't yet seen him in that film, right? So it could be fucking anybody.
It could be any Flash.
It could be any Flash. So you haven't yet seen him in the film, and then later on you see him doing his little bit in the store, right, on the secret files. You see him doing. But I know the universes in the TV show and the film are different, but he's not my Flash.
The TV show is my Flash. I like that guy as well a lot.
Yeah, I think he's class. And I can see obviously why they haven't merged a TV universe in the film universe, because film universe is quite dark.
And the TV guy is very much a TV actor. He's good at portraying a TV role.
Yeah, in that sense. But I think he'd. But he is Barry Allen for me though. Like, he's class as Barry Allen, but I don't think Arrow would work very well in the film universe.
No, it'd work even less than you would expect Batman to against gods and stuff like that.
Aye.
But the one actually.
He does skillful though in the TV show.
Who does?
Arrow.
You're always rooting for these guys though. Arrow or Green Arrow and Batman, because they have no powers, so when they go up against these big bad guys that do have the powers, you're always rooting for them. Mm-hmm. It's always under his dog, and it's always more impressive when they manage to pull something off or go on over them.
To touch on your point about him being the underdog, Batman is immediately the underdog now because he's obviously the only one that isn't a god. But I think that they played that superbly well, brilliantly well. I think I said to you guys in a text chat, he had like, it showed his ability as a tactician in battle, mm-hmm. showed his resourcefulness, and showed his intelligence in fights. Because, you know, he was all over the place, he was creating distractions, he was keeping his distance when Darkseid was
Doomsday.
Whatever.
Whatever the fuck it was. Inverted commas, Doomsday.
Whoever the fuck it was. was occupied by Superman and Wonder Woman. You know, he's shooting his kryptonite.
He did kind of fuck off, when they were doing that.
But that's the thing.
Do you know what the thing got me as well? The thing that I liked about it as well was, see when I was saying like, oh, Batman vs Superman's coming out, blah, 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 and see everyone who hasn't sort of read it or didn't appreciate it or didn't know the characters or whatever, they just went, aye, but Superman, we just kill him, because he can fly, he's got laser eyes and that. And I'm like, but aye, there's more to it. I love the fact that when it actually came to it, when it came to a fucking balls out slugfest of a just fighting,
awesome.
Batman essentially won. Batman was like moments away from winning, and then he was just like, "Mama."
However,
Batman was going to win.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree. You could say though that Superman was holding back.
Aye, because he's a
and everybody who's a big Superman fan would probably say that.
1%. No, he was. Of course, he was holding
1% of his power thing on Earth. Otherwise, he'll destroy everything.
Yeah, but it doesn't
especially
matter.
Especially how he was getting, I need to go and speak to him and make super friends. So basically what he said before he went and he fucking spoke to him.
I didn't quite get that, but he basically went along and was just like, stop trying to fight me, and Batman just like slapping him about and that, and he sent him back. And at the very, very end, he's basically like, here, we need to be pals. And I'm like, why didn't they lead with that? Why not come in and be like, by the way, because he talked to you.
If he did that in the film, it would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
No, I know, but imagine the whole story, Batman vs Superman, and the whole scene is bit Superman going, mate, we need to be pals, eh?
Yeah, good. Listen, we could fight, but it would not be better if we were pals, no?
But there was a little bit as well that I didn't realise in my head that Gotham and Metropolis were so close, right? Because when you see it, or you see the signal, right? And Lois Lane's like gets in the helicopter and she's like, I need to go over there. And
she just points to random point in the distance.
She's like, I need to go over there. And she flies towards Gotham. And then you've got Batman, who's in the Batwing, and he's like flying for a scene, and he's like, "Hey, I'm going to go and get Doomsday, Alfred." And then 10 minutes happened, and it goes back to Batman, and he's still flying towards Gotham. He's like, "Alfred, I'm going to go in." And I'm like, "Right, okay, how fucking long does it take him to fly?"
He might have just been in first gear.
I know what you mean, because like they both split up and go their separate ways, and Batman goes and takes out like the whole level for like warehouse guys, and gets his mum. And Superman just turns up at the ship, the crash ship, and is speaking to Luthor because he's got enough time. And then he phones one of the goons, and it's Batman.
Aye.
Batman's already done all this stuff, and Superman's just like taking a leisurely stroll.
So there you go, Superman is slacking.
Yes, slacking.
He deserved it.
I will say, like, I really, really loved loads of bits of this film, but like the comic book fan in me loved it. But the kind of cynical adult male in me did not believe it. You know.
See, coming back to that point really quickly as well, that you was in the comic book fan and you really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was like watching a comic book. There was a lot of stuff in it that was referenced from different universes, like the Flash thing.
Cyborg was cool.
Cyborg was super cool. Yes. Like
the mother box thing was moving all the time.
Yeah,
that was really cool.
That was like a massive circuit board type thing.
Yeah,
just his head and shoulder on it. But it felt like reading a comic book. For long lengths of comic books, I've been bored as fuck with all of the dialogue that's been going on, and I wasn't necessarily bored as fuck because this felt like an exponential curve of a film. Like you say, it was pretty slow at the start. I felt personally there was a lot of stuff that needed to be done on it to be explained, blah blah blah. And then it's as soon as it hit a bit where Bruce Wayne was in, Batman was in the Batmobile, and I can't remember the line he says, but he speeds away somewhere, and then it just immediately
changed. As it through film,
like, yeah. And I felt like it was like watching a comic book.
No, you're right. I think there was another thing as well. I don't know. I didn't pick up on it at the time when I watched it, but there was quite a little bit of a backlash about Jimmy Olsen being in it as well. Like, he is the guy that dies right at the beginning.
But who gives a monkey's about Jimmy Olsen?
I know, but it was just like...
but even
things like that, what I'm saying is they put in like little Easter eggs like that, and went, oh, there's a wee Easter egg, but didn't fucking name him at all, so nobody knew who he was. And they went, oh, it's Jimmy Olsen. It's like, yeah, but you didn't fucking name him. So it's
kind of inconsequential. That's what I'm taking. Like some ginger kid, he'd be like, what's that?
But he wasn't. He was just some like sort of, it was just some sort of like tall guy with black hair and muscles who wasn't named and got shot. And like, oh, Jimmy Olsen. You're like, but even like wee things like that, it tripped up on, I think. And it was never going to succeed as a film because it had too much to do. And they need to be like two films.
What, setting up for future films and stuff?
Aye.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say, and this is again a sort of negative, is I really hope that Schneider isn't the director for the two Justice League movies, personally.
Have they not got someone else for it?
No. Well, there was rumours that he was going to leave, and then I think he's still there. But I don't know.
The thing is, he's made a bucket load of cash, so he probably won't leave
for a while. They can consult him for fights and stuff. That's fine because the fight, I don't think there's anything wrong with the direction, I think the film looked great. I think a lot of people have a problem with the way he directs though, and the way he likes to do things,
slow motion,
the thing at the start, which young Bruce Wayne goes into the cave and there's loads of bats, and then they circle around him and he starts floating, and people are like, oh, what do you mean, how's that, they're not gonna, how are they making him float, blah blah blah. It's like a dream sequence. Was his ascension to becoming Batman as how Zack Snyder directs.
See, that's the thing about this film as well.
It's a bit...
Sometimes this film is really smart, and sometimes it's really not smart.
Aye.
And it confuses
audiences. Yeah. Well, that's
not just the ones that are dumb. Like, anybody who's watching it will be like.
But that's it. You could have that for loads of different points of scenes. But that's Zack Snyder. That's his direction. And I do agree. Like, I think he should be consulting for fights and stuff like that. But I need somebody else to do a bit better explaining.
But Nolan was involved in this, and it didn't come across like a Nolan film.
The Goyer writer.
Aye, apparently Ben Affleck was rewriting lines of dialogue and scenes and in his Batman uniform costume. Cool. That's not cool though, man.
Isn't he going to co-write the Batman film?
Well, that's what I heard. That apparently
the guys,
this is all just rumours, but so it's going to be based on Under the Red Hood.
That would be absolutely smashing.
Would tie in with the whole kind of Robin
thing. And if it had the same dark tone as this film, because I really like the tone. I like the dark tone.
Yeah.
I've seen too many Marvel movies. They're all the same.
They're very colourful.
Tonally.
And musically, they're very colourful too.
Yes. So yeah, I'd be up for that.
No, I'd be up for a Batman film by itself. I think personally I'm more excited to see the Suicide Squad film, because again that's going to bring Batman into it a wee bit more. But obviously going to bring Joker, Harley Quinn, kind of characters you've never seen on a big screen before. And I think that might be more. Do you know what will be interesting? See if that film's better. See if that film's better received than whatever. Different director. I think it, again, it might come down to the fact that it's Snyder.
Say again.
It might come down to the fact that it's him that directs it.
It could well be, and I think this might suffer from the same syndrome as Batman vs Superman did. Everybody likes the look of Suicide Squad, and everyone's expecting it to be really good. And I feel like I feel like a lot of people have shat on Batman vs Superman so much, and to the extent that when Suicide Squad does come out, I'll be like, this is way better than Batman Superman. This is Batman Superman. That was shite compared to Suicide Squad, and blah blah blah. I feel like there might be a bit of backlash in this. I feel that doesn't maybe do Batman vs Superman the justice that the people who quite liked it.
Do you know what I think? On the same sort of wavelength as that, one thing that I did think actually worked for Batman vs Superman was the fact that folk were giving it like 3 out of 100 and stuff. And yeah, folk were going to be like, "Oh, this is a 30% film on Rotten Tomatoes." No, it's not.
That's horseshit.
And because folk were giving it such low scores, basically, there was folk going in and being like, "Actually, that wasn't a pile of shite."
Yeah,
so it kind of worked the opposite way as well.
No, fair enough. Yeah, and I think that there was a lot of bandwagon jumping for sure, because a lot of, like, some of the forums that I've been on, you see people saying, like, somebody will start a thread saying, "I've just seen Batman vs Superman and it was a pile of shite," and then the first few comments are like, "Yep, I've not seen it yet, but
exactly, I totally what I agree. Thought it was
exactly, yeah, yeah, exactly. So now I'm yeah. glad I don't have to go and waste my time sitting here. Like, you are
God
the
damn
worst.
Souls.
You are the fucking worst
get back,
type
get
of person.
Get back into the bridge, bro.
Yeah."
Our Twitter was full of like folk who basically, like, one guy summed it up and he said, like, there'd been folk tweeting about this film for like, what, 3-4 years, like, and then as soon as a critic goes, "Nah, it's not very good," they go, "Nah, I'm not going to see it."
You're yeah,
like,
precisely. Well,
you don't mind your rage. Even if you don't like it, at least don't like it on your own.
Yeah.
View.
Yeah, so. Yeah. At least don't like it through your own opinion.
Ah, exactly. Right.
Have your own opinion, which essentially is what this film comes down to. This film is, everybody has their own opinion on it, and it's for years it's probably going to be a really contentious issue between comic book fans, between movie fans. Some fans are going to like it, some fans aren't. Some people are going to go and see it again and get their mind changed either way. Some people are going to maintain a constant sort of yes, no, maybe, and It was what it was.
So yeah, you're right, and it's one of those films, if you go into that film wanting to hate it, you will hate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's definitely enough there that they'll give you enough to hate it.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'd say on a good day it's a 9 out of 10, on a bad day it's a 6, but it's definitely not a 3.
Nah, it's not. That's nonsense.
Yeah, I completely agree. I totally agree. And we've been talking about it for like half an hour. So, I believe we may have a quiz to go on to.
We may have a quiz, yes.
We may have a quiz to go on to. So if you guys, do you have any closing statements, arguments, this, that and the other?
Nah.
Okay.
No.
Neither do I. Cool, let's move on. Ding.
Pa-ding.
Pa-ding.
Pa-ding, thank you.
It's that time again.
Yeah,
it's quiz time.
Alright.
And I think, just been talking about it, but I don't know who's winning.
It's me, 2-1-0.
Is it you?
Aye.
If someone could write in and confirm that on a postcard.
Aye, preferably snail mail actually would work. Yeah.
Yes.
A letter, a well calligraphied letter. Is calligraphy the word?
Yeah,
I'm convinced.
Urban Dictionary.
Urban Dictionary. Okay, today's quiz, I'll be honest, I panicked. Because
that's not like you.
Usually I'm so well organised, but today was just an off day. So I turned to my good friends, ChristiansUnite.com. for my quiz.
You're question. Welcome for the traffic, you guys.
For my quiz questions. Basically, I tried to find the most annoying RSA questions I could find. Right?
That is not like you.
I know. So there's also only 8 as well, because I didn't have enough time. I didn't put enough effort in.
That's okay.
Who wants to start? Should we start?
Let's do it. I've put myself down as well. As
you are one of the quiz contestants. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So this is your quiz, and you're one of the contestants,
and you know all the answers.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Just so we know where we stand.
2-1-0
Yeah. I haven't actually figured out how I score, but we'll make that up as we go along. Right.
Fine.
Okay. So question one. Oh, actually, we've got buzzers.
No, I don't. No, right.
Good. I'll go pa-ding.
Oh, right. And I will.
You have to shout the name of a different pastry every time.
Okay. I need to write some down.
Do not write them down.
Oh, God.
Okay, like it can be the same pastry, but you can't use the same one twice in a row.
Fine.
Right, okay, cool, right.
Can savoury pastries count?
Fine, whatever, man. Doesn't matter. There's not that many rules, I'll be honest. It's not that tight. Right, so, question one.
You're in quiz mode.
How many birthdays does the average man have?
Quite a
lot. Ding.
How many birthdays?
How many birthdays does the average man have?
Now, you're asking this, but this might be a Greg question.
Right.
So, I can go for one of two answers. I can go either their date of birth, because that way they'll only ever have one birthday, but it'll just occur on a consecutive amount of years.
It does say birthdays. How many birthdays does an average man have?
74.
I'll go 80.
Nah, it's a.
See if it's.
One a year. One a year. So I'm
going to. Just write the other way.
I'll take a point for that. You were on the right lines. Okay, question two.
I feel like Greg's going to romp home with this one.
You might be right, man.
I think it is. What is it? No, it's 2-1-0. Okay.
Question two.
Tommy's got the other one, actually.
Can you spell pronunciation?
Pan au chocolat.
Go for it.
PRONUNCIATION.
Tommy?
What he said.
Can you spell pronunciation?
What he said.
Can you spell it?
I can spell it, thank you.
Right, it's a point to Tommy.
Yay!
The question was, can you spell it? Yes or no, it wasn't. I didn't actually want you to spell it.
I should have known better. Fuck's sake.
So if you had answered no, I can't, we're like, fine, that's point. You're honest. Right, okay.
I'm being made to look like a mug on various different levels there.
To be honest, you did get it right. You did spell it well done.
Nah, it doesn't matter for a point, though, does it?
Nah, no, it doesn't.
Okay.
Question three. I have two coins that total 55 pence. Right? Maths question. You'll be good at this. One of them isn't a 5 pence. What are the coins?
To be honest, I'm trying harder to think of a pastry now. This is a trick one. I know this is a trick one.
Definitely a trick one.
Two coins. Vol au vent. I'm sure that's a pastry.
Go for it.
It was a 55 pence that was around for like a day and then got taken out of currency.
No, it's good. It's a good.
It's not the one. I'm going to. Sorry, on you go.
No, I'm done.
Shit.
I'm going to say 2 1-pound coins from a while ago that have since
that's
become less value, less valuable than they are now, or they were then.
No, that's wrong. So I'll take a point for that. The answer is a 50 pence and a 5 pence. One of the coins is a 5 pence.
Oh, man!
Right.
Say the whole answer. Did you say the whole answer?
Yeah. 50 pence and a 5 pence. One isn't a 5 pence, but the other one is.
All right, okay.
Right. One isn't enough.
How far can a dog run into the woods?
But then, depends how far away the woods are.
Nah.
Nah.
This is actually not a trick question. I reckon this is a proper question.
That's a trick in itself.
Do I need to say pastry if Tommy's already answered? God, that's fine.
Nah.
Right, okay, so a dog can run like 3 miles into the woods before it's eaten by a bear.
No, I don't want the proper answer.
Yes, please. I don't know if this will be a prank. No,
dog can run halfway into the woods. If it runs any further, it's running out of the woods.
That's the scene.
These questions are... Hey, don't blame me. Blame the Christian.
It's a Christian's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This one's crap. Okay. A clerk in a butcher shop is 5 feet and 10 inches tall. These are also inspired by the questions that I got asked recently as well.
Your job?
A problem solving thing, yeah.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
So, right. A clerk in a butcher shop is 5 feet and 10 inches tall. His apron alone weighs 8 pounds. What does he weigh?
Oh, he weighs various meats for selling to customers.
Yeah, he does. He weighs meats. Boy. Yeah, he didn't buzz in though. What's the point to me?
Fuck you! Okay. You actually gave yourself a point as well.
Of course I have.
Fuck off. Next, we're in the lead.
Did you get it right in your fucking interview thing?
No. Clearly not.
Oh!
Two men play 5 games of checkers, or drafts as we know it. Each man wins the same number of games, right? And no game ends in a draw. How is this possible?
Say it again.
Right, so two men play 5 games of drafts.
Right.
Each man wins the same amount of games, and no games ends in a draw.
They're not playing. Shuban. They're not playing against each other.
Well done, Richard.
Like that. Well, he did says
he buzzed in with a pastry.
I was very close to not doing it as well.
Question 7, there's only 2 questions left.
Oh my goodness.
Everyone to play for.
I can't win anyway.
Greg, you're fucking streaking ahead.
Everyone to play for. Question 7. Why are there so many Smiths in the phone book? I like this question. Why are there so many Smiths in the phone book?
Chocolate Eclair. It's a very common name.
That's wrong.
Somebody ripped out all the pages at the start all the way up to S.
It's a bit of something to do with blacksmiths or something like that.
No, why are there so many Smiths in the phone book? Because they all own phones. So that's a point to me. Right. okay, last question.
And you know that, do you know what this quiz has been? You know that Jackie Chan meme?
Yeah,
that's what this quiz has been.
Now, this quiz has been terrible, is what you're looking for. Okay, and the last question. What has 4 legs? It's loads of clues, so here you go, right? So get Tommy's face, he's done. What has 4 legs, is big, green, fuzzy, and if it fell out of a tree, would kill you?
I've already said that.
Doesn't matter.
Snooker table.
Yes, exactly. A snooker table. So that means, Richard, you get nothing for that question.
What? What do you mean I get nothing for that? How?
Well, because otherwise I don't get to do my tiebreaker.
Are you going to give yourself a...
Yeah, I got 5. Right. Okay. This question is actually, it comes back to what we were talking about earlier on. This isn't a Christian question, I got this one myself. It's closest answer wins, right? And this ties in with what we were talking about earlier. How many lines of dialogue does Clark Kent / Superman have in the entire film of Batman vs Superman? How many lines of dialogue? This is Superman and Clark Kent, it's not...
Alright, okay. As in, lines on a script, as in, like,
aye, as in
lines, on a script.
Lines of dialogue. I'm assuming it means sentences.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to say...
How long's the film? Two and a half,
2:45, something like that.
75, I'm going to say.
Nah. 45.
42.
What the fuck? Really?
He has 42 lines of dialogue, 43 if you include the scream at the very, very end. That's...
throughout the entire film, that's how many times Superman talks.
I believe it, because I counted them all up.
You got it wrong,
but I did get it wrong. I'm not very good at math.
You're overcompensating, obviously, right?
But that in itself proves that, one, the quiz was a shambles, and two, that's meant to be a Superman movie. Sequel,
yeah.
And he speaks.
He does, you know what, he does a fucking lot of it as he looks forlongingly into the distance.
He does.
Or down at the ground a lot, even in the explosion in the courtroom after the explosion, and you see him standing and the flames, he's just like looking like really like, oh my god.
Oh my god! Oh, the humanity!
So there we go. So overall, I think we can sit. What we'll do is, well, you won that, Tommy, because you got a tiebreaker.
Yes.
How many quizzes have you won there, Tommy?
That'll be two.
I've won two as well. Cool.
How many have I won?
Zero.
I'm gonna take a point for this one.
You've got to take this fucking quiz off, aren't you? You're not your bastard.
No, I would not do that, Tommy.
Yay!
Oh my god, not taking it. No, 2-2. 2-2-0.
I'm pretty sure it's 2-2-0.
Yeah, we'll go for that. 2-2-0. We'll forget by it next time we do
that. It'll be 2-2-1 or 2-2-2 by next time.
We're like 4-0 to me.
What people don't know is we're doing quizzes all the time. Even off the mic.
Exactly. It's just how we roll, you know? Yeah. We're just quizzy guys.
Quizzical.
We're confused guys.
But again, another Excelsior podcast from the Desert Whale Chaps. Lads, how do we feel about the podcast this week? All good?
No, I've had the greatest time. I really have.
I'm sure you say that every week.
But it's because it just gets better every time, so you know it's...
He's getting further and further away from the mic as well, like he doesn't want to be here.
Greg, you have a particular verdict with regards to this?
Yes, I think the whole thing was great. I particularly liked the quiz, everything that I said, and the Batman stuff. Not Superman.
Not the Superman guy.
Don't mind him.
I can bet when he's a bad guy.
I can take him. But I'd rather have Batman.
I bet you would. Obvious joke number 75.
I make that in the most innocent way possible, but you guys have just got minds like sewers.
Yes, absolutely. So we are available as always on Facebook. It's Desert Whale Comics. We're on the Twitter at Desert Whales. Instagram, apparently, the Desert Whales.
How dare
prove me wrong?
How dare you?
At the Desert Whales. And if you want to email us, and you absolutely can. thedesertwheels@gmail.com. We have The Plight on sale in various locations, such as Deadhead Comics in Edinburgh and Forbidden Planet in Edinburgh. And, you know, if you want to get in touch for a copy, we have a wee account with which we can sell it to you. So just get in touch.
We should be on Comics House very shortly as well.
Comics House. Comics HAUS.
If you want one quickly, though, don't count on that. Just send us a little message.
Yeah, get in touch. See what the best way is to buy a copy of us. Eventually, we'll get ourselves an online store. And we'll let you know as soon as that happens.
But if you want one, chances are good we'll just come to your house.
That's right. In the Desert Whales mobile.
With Desert Whales. The bus.
Yep, that's right. So until next time, when we have another one of our question and answer sessions, do feel free to join us on the Desert Whale podcast.